Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're all are going to love this. Not only is it me, David Noble with a K, filling in for Aaron Flint, but we've got no plans all hour long other than taking your phone calls. I'm an attorney here in Billings. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. By the way, folks, Warrior Taste Fest in Bozeman this Friday night. I'll be there. Tim Sheehy's going to be there. If you want to support Warriors in Quiet Waters, one of the great, great organizations here in the state, and if you want to say hi to me and you want to meet Tim Sheehy, I'll see you guys there, Warrior Taste Fest, this Friday night in Bozeman. We're reading a bunch of messages on the Montana Talks app here just during the 8 o'clock hour of the show, which you can listen to live on the Montana Talks app. We were talking a lot about the Butte story just because it's such a big deal, the fact that they did a recount in Butte and actually confirmed that their vote totals were inaccurate. Because a USB drive was plugged into the tabulator that shouldn't have been and had apparently test results on it that ended up being in the official reported results. A really big deal there. And that's not the only county with those issues. And so we now have clear-cut issues. This ain't a conspiracy theory, folks. Just like it's not a conspiracy theory to call the Democrats communists anymore, because even ChatGPT calls them communists. Put in, and this is a story that from Eric Weinstein online, and Elon Musk is retweeting it, but they put in the policy details of the Democrat Party into ChatGPT and asked ChatGPT what is that described, and ChatGPT came back and said that's communism, that's authoritarianism. Let's go to Francis in Big Fork. Francis, thanks so much for calling.
Well, yes. Oh, my brother lives in Minnesota.
Okay. Oh, cool.
And they hate him. And he has some not words you can say on the phone.
I'm sure.
Under, or over the radio, you know.
I bet.
Because he's been such an idiot. And, I mean, he just hates the people of Minnesota. Except, you know, himself and his wife and maybe some.
Well, that's like John. That's like John Tester. John Tester hates the people of Montana. He won't come on and talk to us. So you're left with assuming he hates us.
Well, he's a coward. That's the word for him.
I agree.
Coward.
So what kind of specific details have you heard from your family members about this Tim Walz character?
Well, you know, they let Minneapolis burn, and my niece and my nephew work down there, and they're working from home part-time. My nephew goes down a little bit. But, you know, it isn't. Nobody goes downtown anymore because it's not safe.
It's not safe. Hey,
and
Francis. I got to throw you on hold. Francis, I got to throw you on hold. We're up against the break. 5 seconds left. Hey, Francis, hang with us.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Francis in Big Fork about Governor Tim Walz, the dirtbag governor of Minnesota, who's the vice presidential candidate for the Democrats now. Francis, everybody that I've talked to that is either in Minnesota or knows somebody in Minnesota has all said the same thing, is that the people of Minnesota hate Governor Tim Walz because he allowed Minneapolis to burn to the ground during the quote-unquote mostly peaceful protests, the BLM riots of 2020. And then the worst part about it is that Kamala Harris then supported a fund that bailed out those violent criminals and put the violent criminals back on the streets, the few of them that, I guess did get arrested, presumably. But Francis, did you have anything else to add on that? Oh, we must have lost her. Let me see. Let me go to. Oh, I was. You know what? I was on the wrong line. Hey, Francis, are you there now?
Yeah.
Okay, now we got you. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yes. Well, he said that any, you know, every bill they tried to get through, he'd veto, and stuff like that. And but you know, they have all these ads over there that are complete lies. You know, he's so wonderful and this and that. Just like they lie about Sheehy. And I know the guy. He's so humble. You know, he didn't even want to tell. He didn't even bring it up himself till I asked him. I said, well, you, what else do you do on this mansion, they called? And it's little compared to half the houses up in Big Mountain and Iron Mountain. It's a twiggy thing. And, you know, he lets people that have handicapped children come out there. And he brings in different groups and warriors. And, you know, just let them use the house. And just let them go swimming in Flathead Lake. How many other people just let total strangers use their house and, you know.
No, Tim Sheehy is a special man. Tim Sheehy is a very, very special man. Thank you for that, Francis. Really appreciate the call. I want to try to sneak in some of these other callers. But as I said yesterday, talking to Tim Sheehy, folks got to meet him face to face. You've got to look into him more. You've got to get to know him. He is a genuinely good man. He's humble. He's impressive beyond belief. He's genuine. I can't say enough good things about him on a personal level. And on top of that, he's running a policy-focused campaign. He's running a campaign based on the voting record, the official congressional voting record of John Tester. And John Tester is running this disgusting smear campaign full of lies and misinformation. He's putting out videos on Twitter of him and Sharla from 2012 pretending that he just made that video that day. He's posting videos from his 2012 campaign stops in Ravalli County and pretending that those are today. His entire campaign is a fraud and a lie. Anyway, let's go to Julie in the Flathead. Julie, thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you today?
Great, thank you.
Good. Hey, so I just wanted to give everybody a reminder that the Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner is going to be happening October 11th. We have Congresswoman Kat Kamick from Florida, who is the keynote speaker. We will have Tim Sheehy and a bunch of other people that are running right now that will be there as well. But it is limited seating. So we encourage people to go get their tickets. They can get them online.
Say when is it again? Say the date again.
October 11th.
October 11th in Kalispell?
Kalispell, yes.
Okay, and then where can people get tickets?
FlatheadRepublicans.com.
Awesome.
And they can get general, VIP, or they can just call the Flathead County Republicans group as well. So anyway, the link just got live about a week and a half ago, but as I said, limited tickets this year because of a different location, but get your tickets. It's going to be awesome, and it's also going to be a great way that people can hear from Ryan Zinke, hear from Tim Sheehy, be able to rub elbows with people maybe that they've heard about but they haven't met yet. And then the second thing, real quick, so in front of the Republican office in Kalispell, Montana, there has been extreme vandalism of a sign that's put up there, and it's back to back. The gentleman that puts the sign up, it will be like "In God We Trust" or something that has to deal with Jesus, and every single day he goes to replace it, it is vandalized. And then this last time they actually took a chop saw to it and cut the thing up.
Wow.
So there's some really extreme behavior that is taking place in front of the Republican office. And the gentleman who puts up the sign, he's still the Ten Commandments guy sign. He's offering a $500 reward for any information on it, because the second they fix the sign, and these are sturdy, expensive posts and everything, it's vandalized, cut down, torn apart, and somebody's full of rage and hate.
Well, hey, Julie, you know? I've got some information on it. I've got some information, and I don't know if this is enough information to get me the $500 reward, but I know that it's an atheist, it's a demonic Satanist that's doing that. This is clearly coming from somebody who may have a demon possession problem in them. That's the information I've got on anybody that would do that. Anyway, Julie, thanks for the call. Wish I could make it to that Flathead Valley Lincoln Reagan Trump dinner. The other good thing about those is that you can also donate to the Republican Party and to the candidates while you're there. I'm assuming you guys are going to have some auction items, some other fundraiser things. So great call. Thanks, Julie. We'll come back. More calls.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go straight into the phone lines, because this is Montana Talks. On line one, we've got Tester will not be reelected out in eastern Montana. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, David. You're doing a great job. And thanks for filling in for Aaron. I wanted to call and touch on what I don't hear a lot about on the radio, and that is Monica Trinnell. So, yes, I have a full-blown, a campaign against Senator Tester, but I also really campaign against Monica Trinnell as well. And these points goes to show how weird the Montana Democratic Party is, okay? So 2 points. Monica Trinnell, she's not going to win anyways, but let me give you a few facts. She represented on appeal a convicted pedophile trying to release him on appeal. So that's my first point. My second point about Monica Trinnell is she was busy last week. She booked Ryan Zinke's Airbnb, went into it, and filmed.
I saw that, yeah.
Did you see that? Okay, so my question to you is, number one, is that a legal thing for her to do? Can she do that? And number two, do you believe that the Montana Democrats are really, walking a fine line here legally? And I'll leave it there and hang up and just let you answer those questions.
All right, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. I don't know. I mean, I don't know is the first answer. But I guess to just kind of thinking out loud here. Okay, so she rented Ryan Zinke's Airbnb, and then she went in and she filmed inside of it and then posted it on the internet. I'm not seeing off the top of my head how that's illegal in any way, shape, or form. I really don't. You know, the thing is, what's so interesting about that story, my take on that story is, it's another example of exactly what Kendall Cotton was talking about in his recent piece, which I made a video about. If you guys go to my YouTube channel, go to Lecture Fan on YouTube, search up Kendall Cotton within my YouTube channel, you're going to find it's like a 10-12 minute video where I read through Kendall Cotton's op-ed and give my analysis of it, where he was writing about how the entire Democrat Party is attacking success, whether it's attacking Donald Trump's success, whether it's attacking Tim Sheehy's success, whether it's attacking Ryan Zinke's success. And it's just really this crabs in the bucket mentality where they're saying it's a bad thing for Ryan Zinke to have had such a successful career in the military and in the private sector that he can afford to own an Airbnb property. It's a bad thing that Tim Sheehy has created a company worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's provided hundreds of jobs to Montanans. And it's a bad thing that he's been so successful he was able to purchase a ranch. Which, by the way, folks, guess the first thing that I'm going to do if I'm ever as successful as Tim Sheehy is. The first thing I'm going to do is go buy a ranch And I bet about 90% of the listeners out here, if you don't already own a ranch, if you had a huge success in business, you'd go buy a ranch too. That's the American dream. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But that piece by Kendall Cotton was so good. And so with the Monica Chernell attack on Zinke, it's right in line with the attacks on Sheehy, with the attacks on Trump, with all this other stuff, to where the Democrats have this crabs in the bucket mentality where they villainize success. It's really a staggering thing. They're all doing it in all of these different races, attacking people for being successful. Really, really disturbing stuff. We've got Dana in Livingston on the line. Dana, thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, David. Yeah, you're doing a great job. I'm the other conservative attorney in Montana.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
I think if more of us talk, more of us will come out of the woodwork, because there's a bunch of us, and they're in hiding. They're scared of these judges, the conservative attorneys. This whole thing that happened the April 2021, a couple years ago, with the Supreme Court, where they colluded and connived and influenced the district courts. They told the district courts, we'll have your back on appeal if you overturn the conservative pro-America Republican legislation from our Montana court, if people challenge the good Republican laws in the district courts, the Montana Supreme Court told the district courts in some form or fashion, we'll, if you overturn these Republican laws, we'll back you up on appeals. It's RICO, it's violation, this is how a gang acts. They're a gang. And nothing was ever done to them. And it's still continuing, so there's no statute of limitations. It's a criminal and civil conspiracy. The governor could put all of that existing court on administrative leave and could stay and hold in abeyance all of their crooked rulings on these good laws, and the good laws that the Republican legislature passed, pro-life, banning transgender sports, all of these could all go into effect immediately pending an investigation while he puts all of these Supreme Court justices on administrative leave, however long it takes, and do a full comprehensive investigation of them trying to influence unjustly, conspiratorially influence the district courts.
Well, there's a plan. At least you've got a plan. That's the first one I've ever heard. I'm not familiar with all of the background on what you were describing there, Dana. But at least you've got an idea. At least you've got a plan. Let's go to Pat in Glendive. Pat, thanks for calling.
Hey, how are you, Pat in Glendive? I wanted to talk a little bit about MAGA. I'm reading the bullet points here on what MAGA stands for and what they try to accomplish. And the fourth bullet point reads, stop outsourcing brings jobs back to the United States. So I went to my local vendor down here who's set up in Glendive, and it's all things Trump. And all the hats, all the T-shirts, everything MAGA and Trump is made in Jordan, not Jordan, Montana, Jordan, the country, in the Middle East. A lot of the other stuff is made in Vietnam. You know, is that what you guys stand for? Is that what MAGA stands for?
Well, that's not MAGA. That's not the official Trump campaign. All the official Trump campaign gear is made in America. My Trump hat's made in America. I don't think anybody would dispute the notion that these Trump stores are popping up kind of everywhere. It's unofficial. It's not affiliated with MAGA. It's not affiliated with Trump. It's not affiliated with the Republican Party. Those are independent businesses out there doing their own thing. A lot of that stuff is made in China. Got nothing to do with Trump. Got nothing to do with MAGA. That's the truth on that one. Let me get some more of these messages here. Frank in the Flathead says, never listen to what a politician says, only pay attention to what they do. If they don't have a record, do your best to assess their personal life and career. Well said, Frank and the Flathead. That's exactly why we don't listen to a word John Tester says. We look at what John Tester does. And when John, and the other thing you can do when assessing a politician is compare. Compare what they say. Compare what they do. And see, is there any lies there? Is there any fraud there? And when you compare what Tester says with what Tester does, there's only one conclusion you can come to. This guy is a fraud. This guy is a liar. This guy is as phony as it gets. Straight up, period. We were talking earlier in the show as well about all of these advertisements, and we had a caller call in and basically complain about all of the political advertisements and all the lies and misinformation in them. And I asked the caller, well, so who do you blame? You know, if these false advertisements are actually influencing the election and actually changing the votes of people, who do you blame for that? Do you blame the person that paid for the ad, the person that made the ad, or do you blame the voter who is so ignorant and uninformed and so lazy that they would actually base their vote off of one of these ads? The caller said they blamed the person that put out the ad. I personally blame the person who would actually base their vote off of a 30-second political ad. I'm sorry, folks. There's people out there that do this, but if you are actually basing your vote off of one of these 30-second political ads, you're failing in your duty as a citizen to your country, to your state, to your fellow citizens. That's an egregious, egregious failure. I think that's 100% on that voter, not on the person who put out the false ad. Greg in Big Fork sent a message in. What the last couple of callers you had, instead of relying on ads, drive-by media, and leaflets or super PACs, I hate super PACs, spread the word out by word of mouth. Tell your friends about Montana Talks radio show. Get them to listen to it. Tell them to get your friends to tell their friends about Montana Talks. Tell them who you're going to vote for and why. Don't tell them how to vote. Free people do not like being told how to vote. Well said, Greg and Big Fork. 100% agree. 100% agree with all of that. Let's go to Mike in Missoula. Mike, thanks for calling.
You bet. A couple of callers ago, a gentleman talked about the court system in Montana. I'm going to draw your attention and everybody that's listening to a recent article out of Federalist. Okay. I can't tell you the title of it because it's too long, but in that title it states Montana Supreme Court is the worst court in the nation.
Yes,
that's... Bob Nadelson talks about that. I would assume maybe somebody's already called in and talked about that.
No, they haven't. They haven't yet, Mike. And I'm not as good at Aaron Flint as this job here. I took you on as a call right before a break. I apologize. If you'll hang with us through this break, Mike, we'll come back to you right afterwards. But no, Mike, nobody has called about that, and I haven't talked about it. So I really appreciate the call. We'll come right back.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
House Republicans may try to attach several bills to a must-pass funding measure needed by months and to avert a government shutdown. Among those is a ban on foreign adversaries owning U.S. farmland. The ban on China and other foreign adversaries owning U.S. farmland, especially near sensitive military sites, and Washington State Republican Dan Newhouse, a farmer himself, introduced the Protecting American Agriculture from Foreign Adversaries Act.
This is about our country's national security and ensuring that adversaries like China, like Russia, like North Korea, or Iran do not gain a foothold on American soil.
Newhouse would also ensure a continued seat at the table for USDA Secretary on the Treasury-led panel that oversees such buys. China is of special concern.
The People's Republic of China is only interested in reaping every possible benefit from U.S. land without giving back or considering our future. The U.S. cannot become dependent on our adversaries for our domestic food supply.
China is thought to own a few hundred thousand acres of U.S. farmland, but its closeness to U.S. military facilities has set off alarm bells in recent months. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana.
statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Mike in Missoula about the Montana Supreme Court. Mike, is the Federalist article you're talking about, is that how America's worst court intimidates elected officials to fight judicial reform? Is that the one you're talking about?
Wonderful. I just pulled over the side of the road because I was driving to pull that article up, and that is it, okay? In that article, it will discuss how the Montana Supreme Court controls the legal system in the state of Montana by controlling the Bar Association, okay, and hence the judicial, all the judicial personnel with law licenses, as well as the trial attorneys and all the attorneys in the state. Okay, they have a lock. They march in lockstep to the Supreme Court. You'll find very few of them out there that don't follow their lead.
What about me? What about me, Mike?
I don't know. I don't know about you.
Okay.
I don't have a clue.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Did you have any? Do you want to add anything else, Mike, or was that it?
No, I think that's probably it. I would invite everybody to list to read that because I think it's a good idea, okay, for us to realize what's happening in the state and why all these laws are overturned constantly that our legislature passes, and this is the reason why.
Hey, thanks for the call. Really, really appreciate it. I will tell you, as a licensed lawyer in Montana, for me, it's just embarrassing to have Montana making national news because we've got the worst court in the country, according to Rob Nadelson, according to the Federalist. That's my take on it. When I see these stories, it's just sort of like I just sort of hang my head and kind of just sort of shake my head. And it's sad. It's embarrassing. Think about it, folks. We've got here in Montana a very, very red state. We've got what's considered by apparently many out there to be one of the most left-wing activist courts in the entire country. It's always a surprise to people because they're like, really, Montana? Montana's dominated by radical left-winger? Wow, didn't know that. The one thing I'll disagree with the caller on is that, like, all Montana lawyers go lockstep with the Supreme Court. That's obviously not true. Look at Austin Knutson. Austin Knutson's a wonderful Montana lawyer that is definitely not going lockstep with the Supreme Court agenda. I mean, I've voiced my disagreements with these Montana Supreme Court opinions, especially on these political hot-button issues. I will say that in my experience, every district court judge I've been in front of in Montana in a non-political case, you know, your sort of standard run-of-the-mill breach of contract cases, negligence cases, whatever, I think they do a good job on those. It's these hot-button political issues, constitutional issues where I find myself in disagreement with the court, but really just embarrassing and sad to see Montana making national news as having the worst court in the country. Definitely wish that was not the case. Let's go to Bruce in Butte. Bruce, thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
Well, I hear a lot of people, they're wondering about the Green candidates and the Libertarian candidates and the Democrats and Republicans and all the rest. I use what I call the 80-20 rule. Politicians are politicians. You know, I think it was Mark Twain that said that politics is for people that are too stupid to earn a living digging ditches. And so what you got to do is look at who the person chooses to march with. Look at what banner they march under. If environmental concerns are your big thing, you're worried about Mother Earth and all the rest of that, okay, then you should vote for the party that comes closest to your beliefs. You vote for the Green Party. If you want, you know, free drugs, no such thing as borders and everything else, well, then you go for the Libertarians. Now, when it comes to Democrats and Republicans, those two are, unfortunately, very much closer to each other than what anyone would prefer. But for me, it comes down to three simple things. You know, there's the 80-20 rule. If you agree with the 80% of what they say, then that's probably the person you should agree with. You're never going to agree with anyone 100%. Hell, my wife can attest to that. But my three key issues are the border, abortion, and guns. It comes down to those three things, you know. Essentially, I believe that life begins at conception, so murder for convenience is still murder. Then there's the fact that if we don't have a border, it's the same as leaving your back door open at night. I ask all these folks that are for open borders how many people from other nations they've invited to sleep on their couch and whether or not they lock their front door at night. And then the whole issue about firearms is real simple. The First Amendment isn't there to protect hunting. Back then, everybody hunted. That's how you got the majority of your meat back there in the 1700s. The First Amendment was written by guys who just got finished beating the world's premier superpower with flintlock muskets.
Right.
So, you know, it's not there to protect hunting and target shooting. It's there to protect us from the government. That's why the Constitution was written, to put chains on the government, not chains on the people.
Yep. No,
so
that's
everybody
right.
needs to kind of examine what the party stands for, because once they get to Washington, they'll absolutely vote just as their party tells them to. Most of them do anyway. But look at what the party stands for. That'll tell you exactly where you should cast your vote.
Yeah, I agree, Bruce. Great call. Great points. Thank you so much, Bruce in Butte, calling in on that point. I agree with that. I mean, I think that's pretty well said. The one thing that the other issue you'd mentioned, Bruce, that you focus on with other than abortion and guns was the border issue. It reminded me of a point Matt Walsh made recently, because remember, Kamala Harris and John Tester, they used to be opposed to the border wall. They said that walls don't work. In fact, Governor Tim Walz, Democrat VP candidate, literally said, hey, if Trump builds a wall, then I'm going to invest in a ladder company. And if Trump builds a 25-foot wall, I'm going to invest in a 30-foot ladder company. If Trump builds a 30-foot wall, I'm going to invest in a 35-foot ladder company. And Kamala Harris said this is a medieval vanity project for Trump. And of course, now Tester and Kamala and Tim, now they all support the border wall. But back then they were saying walls don't work. Walls don't work. And Matt Walsh was like, really? Walls don't work? Then why do you have walls in your house? What's the point of having walls on your house? Because guess what? Walls do work to keep people out. Let me get some of these messages. Kestrel in Billings says, The Sword and the Shield was a book by Vasily Makhorkin, a KGB archivist who defected in the 70s. He wrote about the KGB infiltrated the Democrat Party from 1946 to 1987. That's awesome. You know, there's another Soviet defector that... I can't remember his name right now, but you guys know it. You'll know who I'm talking about. But there's videos of him talking about how basically the Soviet infiltration strategy. It's not this Vasily Makhorkin KGB archivist. It's another Soviet defector. Somebody's got to call in or message me the name of that guy, because people ought to check out his videos as well. Dennis in Bozeman says, if there's one discrepancy with the tabulators, shouldn't we have serious thoughts about using them anywhere? Yeah, exactly, Dennis. Exactly. I mean, we now know for a fact, 100% fact, that those vote totals in that Butte primary where they had to have that recount just recently, we know for a fact that those vote totals were false. Those were incorrect vote totals that were provided. And okay, it was 33 votes. It was 33 votes for each race, and no race was within 33 votes. Who cares? We need accurate results. But good point, Dennis. Kestrel and Billings sent another one. Did you know that a bunch of Venezuelan illegals were dropped in Billings a week ago coming from patriots working in the city? I did not know that, but doesn't surprise me one bit, because that's exactly what's going on right now. The Biden-Harris-Tester regime is simply paroling folks into the country. Anybody from anywhere in the world, you show up and you say the magic words that you were taught to say, and you'll get paroled into the country. Let's go to Sean in Libby. Sean, thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you for taking me on a second time. I just want to say that Thomas Jefferson... you know, highly recommended that the Second Amendment be employed in times of tyranny. And this is what we're at. But I'm not talking about revolution, nothing like that. What I am talking about is getting to know your police department, your county, your local police department, your county, your state police. and get to know the governor, write to him, support him, Gianforte, and also the National Guard, because ultimately that's going to be our last line of defense, in that order. National Guard, by Governor Gianforte, then the and the police departments right down the line, and then it comes to us. And once it gets to us, we have to be ready and be prepared in any every way, shape, and form.
And that means buy guns. And that means buy guns and buy ammo, folks. Buy guns and buy ammo. That's what we do here in Montana. We're going to come to Lucas in Kalispell right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a caller, Lucas, in Kalispell. Lucas, I'm assuming you want to talk about these initiatives because that abortion discussion we were just having probably triggered you to think about CI 128 and how we've got on our ballot here in Montana an initiative to make abortion totally legal all the way up until the moment of birth. Lucas, thanks for calling.
I wanted to talk about the election ones, but the abortion one is terrible too, and it's backed by the same people. This group 1630 Fund, which is funded by George Soros, it's funded by other foreign billionaires, the Swiss billionaire Hans-Georg Weiss, complete foreigner, by the way. This other guy, Hans-Georg Weiss, does not even have U.S. citizenship. So I don't even know how it's legal that these guys are putting all this money towards these initiatives. But either way, all three are terrible. Like I said, I think, in my opinion, this election one is a seriously under-talked about threat that conservatives in the state are facing, because these two initiatives, CI 126 and 127, would implement open primaries and quote-unquote majority vote. But what that is really trying to do is to get ranked choice voting
right.
in the state of Montana.
Right.
And that's what they have in Alaska. And in Alaska, just as an example, Republicans won the congressional district for 50 years. And the first election, first time using ranked choice voting in 2022, the Democrats flipped it over, despite,
yep.
if, you know, Alaska is a Trump state.
Yep.
So they do these games to play with the outcome, benefit liberals. And the main reason why I'm really worried about this is because they have millions of dollars going in favor of it. Meanwhile, on our side, there is nowhere close
right.
to that.
And the way that 126 and 127 are written, they're totally deceptively written. So if you just read them, you don't actually know what it does or what it's doing because of the way it's deceptively written. It leaves it up to the legislature to sort of finalize the plans. But you're 100% right that these are disasters waiting to happen if for some reason these could ever pass.
Yeah, and, you know, I talked with some of the legislators, especially on the conservative side. They said that in terms of real, you know, true conservative legislators, not rhinos, their numbers will be cut in half if this thing passes. And, you know, you can look at the Western Congressional District with Ryan Zinke. Frankly, I think if these pass, I think Zinke is toast in 2026. And so, I mean, truly, we need to oppose this. Tell everyone you know who's going to be voting this November, just listen. No, no, no. All three of them, they're funded. All three, CI 126, 127, 128, funded by Democrats, far left. No, no, no.
Yeah, amen, Lucas. Really appreciate the phone call. 100% spot on. I'm a little bit worried about Zinke's election this year simply because, you know, when Trump was in town, I was talking to the RSBN folks, and they're national people, and they were really, really worried about the House races in Montana, and I was kind of surprised to hear that. And then you've got Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, showing up, and, you know, Steve Scalise showing up, and all these things to help Zinke and all this. I don't know, but it seems to me some folks are kind of worried about that Zinke race. So you folks in the Western Congressional District can't sit back and sit on your laurels for this one because that. But I 100% agree with Lucas Schubert, their candidate for the House up there in Kalispell. He's 100% right. These are disaster initiatives. I've actually done the research on the ranked choice voting one. I've done the research in terms of where it's been tried, what's been happened. There's a lot of different reasons to go against it. I'm going to be making a comprehensive video on my YouTube channel about those initiatives and why to vote against them. We'll talk about it here on the show more because I think Lucas is right. One minute left. We got Brett in Billings calling in to clarify something I was talking about. Brett, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks. I think the KGB defector you were talking about earlier, his name is Yuri Bezmenov.
That's exactly it, yep.
And then, I guess, real quick, I wanted to see if I could say something else about the guy that called in earlier from Glendive, tried to do the gotcha with the with the mega gear.
Yeah, please
do. People like that don't realize that, you know, that when Trump wants to bring manufacturing and stuff back to the States, he's not saying he's just going to get in and order people to bring it back. What he's going to do is change, like, regulations and tax codes to allow it to make it cheaper for goods to be produced in the United States rather than outsourcing it to these third world countries that use slave labor.
That's right. And also, putting tariffs on China if they don't allow us equal access to the Chinese market. Now, I actually am an economics kind of guy. I actually took enough classes to get an economics minor. Never filled out the paperwork to actually get the minor, but I had the credits for it. So I've done a lot of economics studying, and so there's no question that international trade and fair trade is a benefit to the entire economy. However, it doesn't make sense when we allow China unfettered access to our markets and they don't reciprocate. That's no longer fair trade. That's no longer free. It's not free trade or fair trade. China can sell us whatever they want, but we're not allowed to sell anything to them. Donald Trump talks about it with Europe and cars too. You go to Europe, you know how many Fords and Chevys you find on the streets of Europe? Zero. You know how many European cars you find on the streets here in the United States? A lot. That ain't fair. That ain't free. But anyway, we're done with the show. I'll be here live again tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss tomorrow's show. I think we're going to have Attorney General Austin Knutson live in studio. And other than that, just taking calls on Montana Talks. David Noble in for Aaron Flint.